I think there's a lot of what we do that exists now in the sector with other kinds of players. And there were triggers for that, right? In the 25 years, there was a CSR mandate that I believe did have a great influence in developing, you know, philanthropy infrastructure to some extent. But yeah, a lot has changed in the 25 years, and it'll only change more rapidly, I believe.
Hello and welcome to a very special podcast series, Unusual Suspects. I'm your host, Gaurav Chaudhary. This is a series about unraveling stories of entrepreneurs, investors, and businesses that are disruptors, yet not in your face. And this is also a series about conversations with remarkable professionals whose disruptions have consistently delivered on the purpose and the mission they've embarked on. Their values are as strong as the mission. While they're ruthless in pursuing their ambition, they don't stray from being leaders who are not just admired for the vision and relentless pursuit, but also how they're building an ecosystem of believers who consistently push the boundaries. They allow principles to take precedence over ad hocism. For them, profitability is as important as scale, creating and leading new categories and innovation. In each episode, I speak to one such leader, talking to her or him or them about their businesses, lives, inspirations, work, interests, challenges, pivot moments and turning points, successes, failures, agonies and ecstasy, and of course, the little joys of life. It is as much about their personal life stories as about their entrepreneurial and professional journeys. Unusual Suspects streams on earshot.in, Spotify.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, moneycontrol.com and a host of other podcast streaming platforms. For this episode, I'm delighted to have Neera Nandi, the co-founder of Dasra, an organization that has been instrumental in shaping the philanthropic landscape in India for the past 25 years. Under Neera's leadership, Dasra has built Giving Pi, a network of over 200 family philanthropists who are making significant strides in addressing India's most pressing challenges. In this episode, we'll explore how family philanthropy is stepping up, especially amidst the challenges posed by recent foreign funding restriction, and importantly, the pivotal role it'll play in achieving India's vision of 2047 and achieving a period and ushering the country into a period of Amrit Kal until 2047. Welcome to Unusual Suspects, Neera. Delighted to have you on the show.
Thank you, Gaurav. It's great to be here.
Neera, can you start by giving us an overview of the current landscape of family philanthropy in India? How has it evolved over the years, Neera?
So I guess my vantage point is the last 25 years, and I have to admit that the last 10 years has just been phenomenal in terms of change, growth, participation, and engagement. And I think really it's less that there's so much more, but there's also just more visibility, right? And transparency and an ability for folks to learn from each other. And you're seeing just much more of that, right? Like, for example, we're even having this conversation 25 years ago, there wouldn't even be a conversation, let alone a space that emerges called family philanthropy. So although our origins as a country, is really based in family philanthropy, in religious giving, it was part of our freedom movement, it's very difficult to get a sense of like how much is it, what is it going to, who's giving to where. So although this Giving Pi network, which we launched, 2 years ago, is new, it's not so new. And when you look at the 200 families in this cohort, it's really amazing to see the kind of wealth, but also the legacy that's there. What we really have seen is trying to put some numbers to this to get a sense of its growth. And what we found in our India Philanthropy Report 2024 is that it is a category that's growing at around 15%. And that's actually quite phenomenal, because when you look at CSR, it's not growing as much, but it gets quite a lot of attention. And it has been, a phenomenal move in terms of moving philanthropy. But we really see family philanthropy having flexibility, being unrestricted, and really engaging with NGOs and issues on the ground. But yeah, Gaurav, I think it's an emerging space for us to sort of continue to watch and, engage with.
Absolutely. Let's talk about something which has become a bit of a hot button issue nowadays, given the recent, reports about, and also certain regulatory changes that has come about in the country This is regarding the regulatory actions impacting foreign funding for NGOs in India. And obviously, I mean, it would be completely inaccurate to say that this would not affect the sector. It has affected the sector. In such a scenario where, you know, funding has become a bit of a, and the tap has kind of turned off for many, what role do you see for family philanthropy playing in this new landscape, Neera?
So yeah, the sector has gone through quite a lot of turbulence, right? And I think, yes, it is the FCRA regulations that have, constrained fund flow, but it has also been the pandemic. And we can't forget how much COVID affected us, but actually affected the sector. And it was the NGOs and the frontline workers that actually responded. They were first to respond even before, you know, our broken government systems, health systems to some extent, could even respond. And that really stretched the sector. And then again, it took another blow. I mean, FCRA has been a regulation that has been challenging for the sector, because it just requires so much regulation and license. And a lot of folks have had their licenses revoked for various reasons. So there's quite a lot of fear. There are organizations who have lost their licenses that are trying to figure out, you know, why. But I think the emphasis that foreign funding is actually going to solve our social issues in the country perhaps is exaggerated. Yes, it's an important pot of money, but the importance actually comes from the type of money, right? It's usually quite flexible. It's focusing on issues that may not be, you know, plain vanilla education, health. It's actually looking at intersections. It's giving long-term funding, you know, 3 years. It'll often fund organizations to be able to hire people, strengthen systems. So that type of funding is actually really what's quite precious that the sector is losing. That really what we're trying to do as Dasra with the Giving Pi Network is really try and educate, help families really understand how powerful and flexible and influential their money could be, and that it would even outgrow, doesn't have the same constraints as CSR. So really trying to engage with them to be able to take risks. And that was that is what philanthropy is supposed to be, right? It's supposed to be the most risk-taking capital. So can they fund more innovation, more intersectional issues? So yes, I think we are grappling with the challenge of foreign funding shrinking. But I think just tapping into family philanthropy, it may not close the gap, but I think it'll at some point be even bigger. But just before I end, I think the most important point to drive home is, yes, foreign funding, yes, family philanthropy, but ultimately the funding that will change and move the needle in this country will be government funding. So there has to be a way to work together with government systems, government schemes, government funds, just to unlock that money to just be more effective. And that's really where family philanthropy, corporate philanthropy, and whatever is left of foreign funding really needs to enter into. At the same time as that I'm saying this, I think I do want to contrast, and this may feel like it's a bit of a conflict, that as much as you should leverage, you know, the government funding that's there, the power of family philanthropy being domestic money, being less restricted, is go to issues that are not easily funded, right? Go to those populations that are invisible, minority groups, proximate community-based organizations, and go and fund there. And we actually have a fund called Rebuild, which came out from the back of COVID. It was called Back to Frontline as an initial fund. And then now we've just raised it to support more community-based organizations. Because, you know, Gaurav, what happened was, as a result of the FCRA regulation move, smaller organizations couldn't get funding from the larger ones that were acting as a hub because of the reporting demand on these smaller organizations was so high. It was a nice hub and spoke structure that all of a sudden just fell through. So you saw a lot of smaller, really great organizations deep in communities lose that foreign funding. So you do need pooled funds, domestic money, like our Rebuild Fund and others like Grow that Edelgiv has, to be able to address some of this gap. But yeah, Gaurav, again, you know, to my earlier answer, it's an evolving space.
And, you know, Neera, you know, you have been, you know, this sector like the back of your palms. Can you share some examples of innovative and strategic giving by family philanthropists that are driving significant change in India?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are many families perhaps that, you know, don't get showcased, but I do really want to emphasize Rohini Nilkani and Nanda Nilkani's giving. And I think it's come from, you know, starting and giving us actually a significant amount of flexible funding when we didn't actually have money to pay for salaries, long-term funding. It was really Rohini who came in, came to speak to philanthropy. See, what the challenge has been is families being willing to stand up and say, this is how I give, this is why we should give, and actually encourage their peer group and the next generation of philanthropists to give. And the likes of an Anu Aga, you know, Rohini, they really became, you know, the elders, not in age, but in respect and how they stood up and spoke about their giving and why one can and how one can give strategically. You know, she helped us launch our first India Philanthropy Forum, which was the first place that philanthropists could come meet each other, but hear about what's happening on the sector directly kind of from NGO leaders. So the likes of her funding sort of philanthropic ecosystem building, I think, is really innovative. And of course, now if you fast forward where their funding has gone, Rohini specifically, is she's really funding how do you fund systems change, how do you help organizations scale, but also how do you build backbones with digital infrastructure? That also has been a big focus of Nandan's. And so you saw our first emerging group of philanthropists invest quite a lot in technology. Now you're seeing a lot of, in AI. So there's a category of first generation wealth, we call it to some extent, entrepreneurs who have seen the power of digital transformation and how that can come into our sector. So that would definitely be, you know, one example. I think other emerging examples, Gaurav, are these issues that are beyond education and health, but are at the intersection. So for example, we have a group of families in Giving Pie that are coming together and really anchoring their work in sports for development. Not sports for excellence, like who goes to the Olympics, but how do you get the likes of a Magic Bus? How do you bring sports as a learning, a life skills building tool into communities? We're seeing more families actually enter into sports for development. We have families who have come together to really anchor their work around mental health. Very specifically, the Bharathiram family has come in and really anchored an alliance called the India Mental Health Alliance. And what we're seeing is a willingness for families to learn from each other, to come together and collaborate. And I think that's what's going to be transformational for as we want to see sort of certain sectors move, certain fields move. But yeah, these are kinds of the issues, Gaurav. We're seeing more in sports for development, interest in mental health, actually climate, like the Rain Matter, the Zero Da Brothers with their foundation, Rain Matter. We're seeing being really innovative in the climate space, arts and culture. These are some emerging themes.
Absolutely. You know, coming back to the funding issue, there's a concern that funders can sometimes make NGOs more inauthentic or less rigorous. How are family philanthropists helping to maintain authenticity and rigor in their work, Neera?
You know, I would actually say it's the opposite. This next generation, now generation, first generation wealth is giving with a lot of rigor. And I think that might actually be part of the challenge because they've made their money, you know, on the corporate side in the private sector. And this sector is different, you know, doesn't have an ability to measure a simple bottom line of profitability. It really needs to be able to measure performance. Comes from, are you ultimately making a change in people's lives? Is there impact on the ground, right? Are we scaling? And that's a long-term game. So I think what we're having to actually educate and work with families on is, yes, wear your business and rigorous hat, but also understand the sector, understand how change happens. But let's also bring some analysis to it, some frameworks to it, and invest in that. So the other opposite side of this is that folks enter in expecting to see, you know, really quick change, but also not wanting to spend on things like overhead, administrative expenses, things that actually build strong businesses, actually build strong nonprofits. So you have to be able to invest in that as well. And so just trying to find that careful balance in how you approach working in this sector, I think is a journey and actually needs handholding. And that's really what has been a coming of age for the philanthropy sector, at least what we've seen in 25 years, is that now there's a willingness to learn and there's places to be able to go and learn from, because you see this sort of tension in our sector. Yeah, Gaurav, I think there's a lot more to be done, but you're right. Ultimately, it is the heart that engages in the sector, but you need to engage both the heart and the mind for us to really take it somewhere and transform India.
Indeed. You know, let's change tack a bit. You know, Dasra is celebrating 25 years of strategic philanthropy this year. Can you reflect on this milestone and share some of the key achievements and learnings from this remarkable journey over the last 25 years, Nita?
Yeah, it's, you know, when one hears 25 years, you're like, wow, that sounds really long, but it doesn't feel that long and heavy and slow. Just so much has happened. It's such an energizing sector. If you just see the kinds of leaders and entrepreneurs that have entered the space since we started, I mean, we were 24 when we started Dasra. My husband, Deval, and I were analysts at Morgan Stanley in New York when we came up with the idea. And, you know, folks thought we were crazy. And yeah, we probably were. And to be honest, after I graduated from Harvard Business School and came to join Dasra and Deval, I was like, if it works out, great. If it doesn't, I'll have a job. But it's really worked out because there's a need, right, to build bridges between where there is money, power, and influence, and where there is just amazing work, transformational work happening on the ground. And what we've seen the change is there is more money flowing. There is now an emerging ecosystem, some sort of infrastructure that's happens. Now you can, you know, see a little bit of data, have some research. It's still a challenge with the level of transparency in our sector, but there is more of that. But I think what is really inspiring is the vibrancy of the sector, right? The kinds of leaders that I was saying, and the innovation that's happening, I'd say, is probably the third thing. And finally, I think the government, private sector are recognizing the importance of an enabling environment for the nonprofit sector. Need to have an enabling environment. I think we realize the power of it, but not fully investing. So I think more and more we need to work with private sector and government to come in and really prop up the space. So I'm hoping that the next 25 years, we see a lot more collaboration, a lot more engagement of different kinds of stakeholders. But yeah, I think there's a lot of what we do that exists now in the sector with other kinds of players. And there were triggers for that, right? In the 25 years, there was a CSR mandate that I believe did have a great influence in developing, you know, philanthropy infrastructure to some extent. But yeah, a lot has changed in the 25 years, and it'll only change more rapidly, I believe, Gaurav.
Absolutely. Finally, Nita, looking ahead, how do you see family philanthropy contributing to the vision of Viksit Bharat by 2047? What are the key areas that need to focus to ensure this vision actually becomes a reality? Because there are many known unknowns and unknown unknowns and unknown unknowns too. So how do we navigate this, and what role do you see for family philanthropy here?
I think the role of family philanthropy to 2047 could actually learn from the values and the investment of what family philanthropy did for our independence movement, honestly, in 1947. And I think if we just take inspiration from that and enter in, therefore, to really ask family philanthropy to take risk, right? Go to the darker places of the country, go to communities that, you know, are invisible, and just bring to life where they are, how they are, and how do we mainstream that, and how do we tell their lived stories and their experiences, and how do we make these communities equal partners in where this country and our economic growth is going. So I think definitely investing in the most vulnerable, investing in data, and really trying to bring data and policy to those is where families can, you know, really, really play a role. I think families that are in promoter-led businesses can absolutely just grow businesses that are more inclusive, right? And enabling economic growth and innovation that is for communities and populations that haven't been able to participate in some of our economics. And that a big piece can be the focus on gender and the focus on women, right? You're seeing the government invest in bringing women into the workforce, bringing women and investing in women. But there's a larger role that gender plays in our country that philanthropy can really try and, you know, innovate around. And then again, you know, finally move to these more sensitive intersectional issues like climate and health, and really investing in things like cities, right? A lot of our population is going to move from villages to cities. That is just inherent of how this country will move. So how are we investing in cities being more resilient? How are we really meeting the aspirations of our young people? Because you put them through this education, but then are there going to be jobs? So I think just a reimagining what livelihoods and jobs can look for. We've got a lot to do up till 2047 to really make this, you know, an inclusive economy. Everyone is watching us as India, right? We're the center stage of some of the highest growth in the country. We're, you know, being asked to take a real leadership role. And I think there is a lot to be said of what we can show in terms of innovation around climate and how you can grow a country and be inclusive of that. I think the lessons from here can go to other countries. And especially the, I don't like to say global south, but the region, right? The southern region, the countries and continents like Africa, Southeast Asia. I think there's a lot more we can do to not be so insular in what we do in our sector and showcase that a lot more. Yeah, these are just a few things, Gaurav. There's a lot, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Very important points and very insightful details that you have shared, Neera. Thank you so much for taking the time out and dropping by to have this conversation with us and sharing your perspective and insights. Thank you, Neera.
Thank you, Gaurav.